We are going to start this time with a prayer, so would you join me in a prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for that place called home that's prepared for us. And thank you that while you have us here, you have us here for a reason. And just as that song is so appropriate, what Bob knew and shared, people need the Lord. And remind us this day as we perhaps intermingle, and whether it's going to a store or a restaurant, or as we look about at the world in such a time as this, people need the Lord. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit now would open our minds and our hearts to all that you have for us. We want every bit of it. If there would be anything that would hinder us hearing you, I pray you would remove it, for we've come to see Jesus and to be changed by Jesus. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, here's a time of confession. You don't have to say it out loud. How many of you heed warnings? How many of you heed warnings? Last Monday evening, what a beautiful day Labor Day weekend was. And Labor Day, until later on in the afternoon, we're sitting outside of our house, and we've got most of our family. Kids are running around the yard, and they're doing it's just a great time to be together. And off in the distance, there is this tornado siren going off. And I'm thinking, I've never heard that siren sound like it does. And because it wasn't as loud as normally I would hear sirens, and I thought, that's just really weird. It's probably the golf course over Dublin, and you know, there's some rain coming, and they're warning folks. And so, you know, it's the next county up that has the problem, Delaware County, right, John? You're going to see some interesting weather. And so, you know, the tornado. So the warning was going off, and we continued to be outside playing. It was sunny. It was beautiful out until about, I said to Lori, that doesn't sound right. And she said, well, it's the next county. I said, great, then we don't have anything to worry about. She goes, well, you need to know the next county is three streets over. So if you hit the next slide, there you go. So we were right there. But we didn't have to worry about it because it was the next county over. It wasn't much longer after that that the siren at the end of our street went off, much louder, blasting, booming, it unnerved some of the kids. And then, this is Dublin, I don't know that they actually did that, somebody was on the loudspeaker saying, there is a tornado sighted in the area. But it was sunny, and there was really not a cloud in the sky. We were sitting on the east side of our house, and so it was beautiful that direction. And it wasn't until about 7 minutes later that the front rolled over our house, and it was... So then we had to clean up everything and get people in the house. But it's we're not very good at warnings. This weekend, we had some of our grandkids over, and they like to jump from the couch that they're not supposed to stand on into a big beanbag pillow that's oversized. And I said, don't make sure that the person is off the beanbag before you make your jump. And that didn't happen. They didn't listen a lick to the warning that I gave. I was a lifeguard. You know, the red flags go up at the beach saying that there's an undertow. It's dangerous. And what do people do? They swim right out there, and they get in trouble. We are not good at heeding warnings. And what if you've been reading along and following along, you know, we've had prophets now for a good many weeks. In fact, we've got three more weeks of prophets, then we hit the New Testament. But the prophets are sent to warn us. But like us, the people of long ago did not heed them. They did not pay any attention. We are at the last prophet before the Babylonians come in and take people away. This is the last prophet. And so this is going to get a bit intense because God has had it up to here. And we're going to find out this prophet's name is Zephaniah. Zephaniah 1. The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, there's a lot of ayahs going on here, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. Zephaniah is the only prophet that traces his lineage back to a king. He is a royal prophet. He's in the line of the kings. King Hezekiah was the last really good king of Judah. He did things right. The folks that came after him did not do things right. Currently, there is an 8-year-old on the throne named Josiah. He just comes on the throne and ruled when 18 years into his reign, which would make him 26 with new math, carrying the one, the high priest finds the scroll in the temple. Somehow it was hidden, found the scriptures, the Old Testament up to that time. I think we have a photograph of that happening, do we? Is that there? No, it didn't include it in this one. It is a picture that it's not a Bible like this. It's a scroll, and it was found, and it was the word of God. Josiah was so impressed with what he read, he reformed everything. He got rid of all the foreign gods that were in the kingdom. He turned everything around, and Zephaniah was the prophet that was tuned into Josiah, and they were doing this together until Josiah, 13 years later, dies. Now, one thing I want you to know is the power of the word of God. This king found the word of God, read it, ripped his robes because the people had wandered so far away that he, through history, rulers have tried to get rid of this book because it is used in such a powerful way in people's lives. It radically changes them. And we so much of the time can take it for granted. And the power that we just is right there at our fingertips. But it reformed the people of God. It has changed lives. Faith comes by hearing. People need the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are so many powerful stories of what this book, what God does, it doesn't get back to him without accomplishing everything that God intends. So do not put this thing on the shelf. And I'm so glad we are reading through it. So the king dies, and Manasseh, another king, comes on the throne, and he is a bad king. He goes back to having the people celebrate a child sacrifice. He sacrifices his own children to foreign gods, and he brings back all the bad that Josiah. And so God has had it up to here in the text. Verse 2, I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. How's that? I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away birds of the heavens and fish of the sea and the rubble with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Don't think that because you're my people, you're going to survive this. Now, what you have, if you read those words carefully, how fed up is God? He's going to undo Genesis. If you read it, he undoes the creation of the world. He wipes it out. And Jerusalem, my people, you're part of this. I made you to be the light to the world, and you've become like everyone else. In fact, in verse 12, he says, at that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. You see, he's not only frustrated with those who are going against his law. He's frustrated with those who are neutral about him. God's neither going to do bad, and he's not going to do good. He is of no count. He is of no account. And he's not going to judge us. What happens when people aren't judged? They get crazy. They do what they want. In some of our cities, people are not being judged for burning buildings. And night after night, that's just what they do because no one's saying that's a bad thing. So Zephaniah lays it down. Here's what's going to happen. The great day of the Lord is near. It's right around the corner, folks. Within 20 years, they will be gone. Near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud. No one will be able to stand up against it. A day of wrath is that day. A day of distress and anguish. A day of ruin and devastation. A day of darkness and of gloom. A day of clouds and of thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring disaster on mankind so that they will walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. That's a great commentary on our culture. No matter where you look, people are like blind. They're just walking around. Blind. All the surrounding paths. So Jerusalem, you're in trouble. And then he goes north, south, east, and west. And if you read the book, he goes against every one of the communities, the different people groups surrounding Jerusalem. And he says, I'm going to go after them. The people that you think have life, the people you want to emulate. The people who Israel is always going, oh, what do they have? They seem like they're having more fun. Oh, maybe their gods are better. God, or we're so afraid we're under their thumb. We've got to do what they say. I love the passage from Isaiah where God says, but the multitude of your foreign foes shall be like dust, and the multitude of the ruthless like passing chaff. God is saying, you know those folks you're so afraid of? Those folks that seem to have it all together, those folks that feel so empowered, they're going to tell you what to do. The folks that you are afraid of, they're like dust to me. They're nothing more than chaff. They're going to be blown away. They are worthless. And yet your heart goes after what they have. You want to be like them. You're afraid of them. You think that they're so powerful. They are nothing. And then he turns his sights back on Jerusalem and he says, woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the oppressing city. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. And so God looks at his people and he says, you don't draw near. You've got your eyes and hearts in other places. It has gotten that bad. Now, as you read through this, you're thinking, okay, this is awful. This is terrible. What if I told you that Zephaniah is known as the prophet of love? Yeah. Yeah. Historians look at him as the prophet of love. And you're going, what? We've just read two chapters of total destruction and anger by God, and you're telling me those are words of love? How can that be? How can it be? Well, back in the late 1800s, a preacher named Spurgeon told the story of a little girl who one night woke up and there was a man standing over her and she was screaming. The man went out in the hall and pretty soon appeared with two other men, and they picked this little girl up and they by night took her downtown to a old building. And the man that was standing in the shadows talked to another man who pulled out a knife and stuck it in her abdomen. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, who is going to help this little girl? How awful. But what if I told you that the man who was in her room standing over her was her father? And she woke up screaming because the pain was an appendicitis. And he had to find some others who would pick her up gently and take her to the hospital downtown, where a doctor came in, a surgeon, and took care of the appendicitis. Does that change the story at all? You see, there is a tough side of love where you do things that seem harsh and difficult, but every one of those actions were actions out of love, out of a heart that desired the best for that little girl. And what if you and I would take the actions of God in the Old Testament and we would overlay it with a loving father who desires the best for his children? And the surgery and difficulties that would have to happen, as awful as they were actually actions of a loving heavenly father. Might that change the way you and I look at the Old Testament? At some of the ways that God is angry with evil and suffering and pain and does all that he can to bring healing and wholeness to his children. Look what Zephaniah tells the people to do in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all of your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. What? That's what he says after all that destruction and all that terrible thing that is the day of the Lord is coming? He says, sing aloud, shout, rejoice, exult with your whole heart. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. He has taken the appendix that is bad out of you through this surgery. The King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil On that day it will be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. Do not be in fear. Sing, rejoice, exult. Why? Because you are being healed. Why? Because your God is with you. The Lord your God, verse 17, is in your midst. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Oh my gosh. God sings over you. God rejoices over you. You know, only three times in the Bible does God ever sing. And this is one of them. And he sings over his children. He's not the angry preacher, the school teacher that's demanding that you keep the rules. He is a tender mother, a tender father, who when the baby cries in the middle of the night, doesn't cry, doesn't say, shut up. When the baby cries in the middle of the night, says, be quiet or I'll give you something to cry about. Who walks into the room and bends over the crib, picks the baby up, and holds that baby tenderly and sings to that baby. Smiles and rejoices over this little one. That's the tenderness of the heart of God. How do we know that? Because in Luke 15, where you have the lost coin, what does a woman do when she finds this lost coin? She calls everybody together and celebrates. She shares her joy with everyone over the coin that is found. And what about the lost sheep? The shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the one. And what happens? He brings the sheep home, carrying the sheep. And he calls his friends together. And he says, rejoice in me, with me. Because this lost sheep is now found. And the third story in Luke 15 about the father, whose son says, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance. I want it now. And I wish you were dead. And goes off to the far country and spends it all and ends up destitute and comes home banking on just a little grace from his father. And what does the father do? The father sees him while he's a long way off. He embarrasses himself. He lifts his robes to run to the child, to embrace the child. And then he throws a party for everyone to rejoice with him. That rejoicing, that joy is the heart of our Heavenly Father, who welcomes us, who loves us. So how can this be the prophet of love with all that bad stuff? Here's the key. All the bad stuff does not come from a bitter, angry heart. All the bad stuff comes from a loving Heavenly Father trying to do surgery on his people and in a world that is sick unto death. And that father will do whatever he must so that that child is well. And you know what he does? He gives up his own son's life so that the likes of you and me would be made well. In that act of love, of sending his son to pay for all the wrongs, all the sins, it's an act of love so that you and I would be well. If you don't know God's love in that way, if you've only lived the tough side of the love and have never known the tender side, you see it in Jesus. You see it in his word. Don't let another day go by without running into those open arms that has done everything in court, along with some difficult things in your life and mine, to bring us back into his love. You think about that. Amen. Pray with me, gracious Heavenly Father. Zephaniah is a wow. I never saw it before. We just want to pick out a little verse and hold it and memorize it, and we don't know how deep your love goes, so deep that it caused you great pain in the way that you did surgery, by bringing us back to yourself, the fact that you gave your son. If there's anyone here who is not by faith, put their faith in you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, your son who gave his life so we might have life, that they would do that today. And for the rest of us, Lord, that we have forgotten, we think that you're schizophrenic, nice in the New Testament and angry and mean in the old, only to realize that love permeates it all. And one day we will get that fully. Until then, Lord, we're going to trust your word. We thank you for your son and for this time of worship and the blessing of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.